Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi. My name is Adina Shmiman. Join us tomorrow, Wednesday, August 16th, for a pre-Rosh Chodesh Elul live Zoom presentation with Mrs. Debbie Fox, launching the Women's Initiative Journaling Journey with daily self-reflective prompts through Yom Kippur. Sign up for both the Journaling Journey and the Yimei Ratzon Ideas and Inspiration programs at ouwomen.org/yr23. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Shkup, and today we'll continue our study of Iyov, examining the 12th chapter, in which Iyov begins his summative response to the first round of speeches on the issue of tzaddik v'ralo, the suffering of the righteous. While the speeches of the three friends became increasingly shorter, Iyov's responses become ever longer. In the beginning of this chapter, Iyov reacts to Tzofar's brief but pointed admonishment and his brazen suggestion that Iyov is not only besmirched with some hidden sin, but that his guilt merits even more severe retribution than he has already received. Iyov cannot help but scream in frustration and opens with biting sarcasm. Omnam ki atem am ve'imachem tamut chokhma. Gam li levav kamochem, lo nofel anochi mikem. The gist of his retort is, doubtless you are the only people who matter, and wisdom will die with you. But I have a heart and mind just like you, and I'm not inferior to you. Mitzudot points out that truth is not determined by democratic vote. The majority can be dead wrong, and common opinion can be utterly false. Just because Iyov stands alone against three does not make him any less wise or correct than his friends. Iyov then bemoans that he has become a mere laughingstock, though righteous and blameless, and accuses his friends with callous amusement, like those who giggle as they see a clown slip and fall on a banana peel. Lapid buz le'ashtot sha'anan, nachon le'mo'adei ragel. Those who are at ease have contempt for the misfortunate. And then he turns to Tzofar's contention that we cannot put any stock on our perceptions, because those that seem virtuous may be essentially evil, and those who maliciously harm others and rob them can be good in their essence, and that's why they live the life of Riley. Malbim explains that Iyov will take the Platonic notion that we cannot perceive reality and deconstruct it to the absurd. He demands that we observe the beast and the birds, the fish of the sea and the physical earth, who all will attest to the ultimate truth, namely that whatever we can see, hear, and feel is the only reality that matters. Ve'ulam, she'alna behamot ve'torecha. Ve'of ha-shamayim v'yaged lach. Osiach la'aretz v'torecha. Ve'yesapru lecha degei hayam. Mi lo yada bechol eile. Ki yad Hashem asta zot. Just ask the animals, and they will teach you. Or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish in the sea inform you. Who among these does not know that the hand of Hashem has done this? You will note that here Iyov refers to God b'shem havaye, with a four-letter word that signifies rachamim, an unconditional love. This reality is sufficient for a human mind to deduce from the wonders of biology and physics something about the nature of God. The living and inanimate worlds pulse with the presence of God, and they need no special wisdom to function according to the divine plan. Thus Eov, the profound believer, adds the 10th verse, Asher beyado nefesh kol chai, veruach kol besar ish. In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. According to Ramban, Eov is asserting that the proliferation of the species and their ability to reproduce, survive, and adapt to their environment proves Hashgacha Klalit, God's protection of life on earth, even when there is no individualized providence, such that individual humans may falter and fall in a perverse fate. Sforno analyzes the terminology used in this 10th verse and indicates that nefesh is the vitality, the life force that is found in every organism but is controlled by the hidden hand of God. In contrast, ruach signifies the conscious spirit, the soul, and the mind injected into the body of man alone, which is chelek eloka mimal, which Kohelet indicated, v'haruach tashuv el ha'elokim, a divine spirit that will ultimately return to its source, a spirit which differentiates the human from all other living beings. This important line from Eov was incorporated as a mantra in the liturgy of Slichot. Asher beyado nefesh kol chai, veruach kol besar ish, haneshama lach vehaguf poalach, chusa al amalach. We plead with God, who holds the soul of every human being in his hand. The soul is yours, and the body you made. Have mercy on your own work. According to many commentaries, with this line, Eov emphatically rejects Sofar's assertion that man cannot comprehend reality. For if he could not discern what is real or not, he would not be a free creature who could make choices for which he would then be held accountable. On the contrary, Eov believes that God gave us 5 senses to hear what is said and by whom, and palates to taste a variety of flavors. He gave us wisdom and discernment that are refined and developed with age. Our accumulated experiences and experiments allow us to test the veracity and accuracy of our imperfect perceptions, and can allow humans to gradually arrive at the truth. Malbim, on the other hand, suggests that Eov recognizes the limits of human perception and cognition. He observes the animals and the inanimate phenomena surrounding him, and concludes that all of God's creations, organic and inorganic, are bound inexorably to the will of God and are pre-programmed to function without their conscious volition. Even human beings who may be aware of their actions more often than not operate by instinct and according to genetic predispositions, and therefore do not really exercise free will. Malbim translates verse 10 as a continuation of the observations of the beasts and the birds, and writes, quote, just as the animals can do nothing except as dictated by their nature and instinct, which was planted in them by the Creator, similarly, the life force, nefesh, and the spirit, ruach, that operate in the flesh of a man are in the hands of God, and the human being has no freedom or choice. Accordingly, Iyov begins to question whether humans have the capacity to choose between good and evil. Though man can discern with his physical senses, acquire knowledge, and deduce principles that explain the natural world, his education or natural intelligence do not necessitate that he has free will, and therefore no person can be blamed or praised for his behavior. Thus, Iyov asserts in the 16th verse, Imo osvetushia, lo shogeg umashge. To him belong strength and insight. Both deceived and deceiver are his. Mitzudot instead suggests that this verse means that God, in his infinite wisdom, determines to whom he should mete out courage and intelligence. And God is fully aware of who is lying and who is being lied to. However, according to Ramban and Malbim, Iyov is saying, any courage or wisdom found in human behavior is really from Hashem. And any error or misconception is also attributed to God. Logically, then, it follows that no human should expect reward for his achievements, nor expect punishment for his mistakes. This is reminiscent of Chazal's statement in Masechet Chulim, Ein Adam nokef etzba milemata, ela im ken machrizim alav milemala. A human being doesn't stub his toe in this world unless it was so decreed in the world above. That thesis is further elaborated in the following and continuing verses. He removes the royal robe of kings. They are led away with chains around their waist. He leads priests away, stripped of status, and overthrows those with long years in power. He silences the trusted advisors and removes the insight of the elders. It seems that God misleads and drives men to their downfall. He plays with the powerful and humiliates them, exposing their dark secrets. Is God merely capricious? Or, as Iyov says in the 22nd verse, where he points out that God pulls on the strings, but most likely in order to save the earth and humanity. Megale amukot minichoshech, v'yotze la'or salmavet. He uncovers mysteries hidden in darkness. He brings light to the deepest gloom. Mitzudot suggests that Hashem opens the eyes of the person who seeks the truth and makes him understand things beyond the perception of his five senses, granting humans insight to dimensions that are otherwise inaccessible. But Malbim and Amos Chacham suggest that God orchestrates the downfall of corrupt leaders by exposing, quote, mysteries hidden in darkness, end of quote, and strips away the facade to reveal the rot behind those leaders. Accordingly, Hashem intervenes in human affairs, cutting short the reign of tyrants, as suggested by the closing lines of this chapter. He builds up nations and he destroys them. He expands nations and then he abandons them. He strips kings of understanding and leaves them wandering in a pathless wasteland. They grope in the darkness without a light. He makes them stagger like drunkards. So it seems that Iyov still believes that there is purpose and meaning in God's decrees. And what seems to be capricious or even cruel interventions serve to preserve life on earth. Consequently, Eov hopes that the mystery of his suffering will also be brought to light. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Rose Forman, Rezel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.